Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts that will keep you busy for countless hours. So many great articles and podcasts up on AmericaOutLoud.com. We recommend you guys head on over to the site and check that out. Tonight, we will be joined once again by our friend Joshua Spodek, who is a college professor, a TED Talk speaker, a podcast host, an astrophysicist, and so much more. Recently, he wrote an article, "Why Do So Many People Lecture Me on What It's Like to Be a Straight White Male?" So we're going to talk about that and the war on white men and what it's like growing up as a white man in today's America. We see it all the time in society where the media tries to make white men feel like oppressors and minorities feel like the oppressed. It makes things very difficult in a constantly changing society. I'm excited to hear again from Josh, but first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing good, but let me just want to take a step back. Look, if Josh thinks that he has it bad, try being a black man. Try being a black man who's a conservative. We don't get it any easy. But what I find interesting about all this, well, first, I want to thank our guests, our audience, for tuning in tonight. Because as Andrew said, we've been talking about this quite a bit. The war on men, the war on black men, the war on white men, the war on Christian men. We've had guests to come on, Denise McAllister and BB Diamond just recently, talking about this all too important topic. Now, I'm sure that some of you out there that are listening and you're probably wondering, what are they talking about? Or some of you are probably saying, you're right, there is a war on men. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Well, actually, I do understand it and I do get it. They just don't like men. There seems to be a push to eradicate men from society. They relish in seeing our demise. I'm all for equality, and we should have it. Equality of all the genders, male and female. Anything else outside of that, that's made up, and you guys can discuss it amongst yourselves. But to tear down one in order to raise up another, I'm not for. And it has no purpose other than for division. We should be thankful and happy that we have male and female. I mean, it's that unit that comes together that produces children, offsprings. It keeps our society going. Now, there are those out there that are a lot smarter than what actually think they are. It's like, well, we don't need a man to have a baby. We can have test tube babies. We can go in a lab and create a baby or whatnot. It's even gotten to the point that people feel that men can have babies. Scientifically, biologically, they cannot. And again, as I've said on so many shows, if you want to create this entire process whereby I'm half man, I'm half woman, and I'm doing this, okay, you can live in that fantasy world. I'm not going to go there with you. But I digress. The war on men is real. The war on Christian men is extremely real. The war on black men, I can speak personally about that, it's real. Though some would say, oh, it has to do with racism. No, it has to do with the fact that I am a black man. They don't like that. I'm too toxic. The white men are too toxic. We're too domineering. We're bombastic. Well, how do you want your men? Well, those aren't traits of a man. And then you have transgenders coming out saying, this is how a man should be. But wait, I thought you were transgender. How can you be a man if you're transgender? You don't see these attacks on women. She's too girly. She's too womanly. You don't see it. Instead, you have women trying to be men. But I thought we were too toxic. But that's okay. She can be a lesbian. She can be a butch and behave rough and tough. That's acceptable. But don't you dare be a man and do that. because we're going to call you out because you're definitely showing just a little bit too much testosterone, too much masculinity, and we don't like it. But why? I answered the question earlier on. They just don't like men, in my opinion. And of course, to me, my opinion is the right opinion. But we have Josh on to talk about this also, and to talk about his piece, which I thought was so timely, and even just the subject. Why do so many people lecture me on what it's like to be a straight white male? Well, that's another part we have to bring into it, being a straight male. You can be gay, I don't care. I would dare say I have gay friends because they'll say, oh, you're just, you know, trying to suck up to us. But I've spoken to some of my gay friends and their response to girly men or men behaving this way is like, well, that's not a real man. That's not how men are. But yet and still, here we are. The war on men for being too manly. Josh, how are you tonight?
I'm very good. I'm glad to be back. It's always great to talk to you guys.
Well, yeah, it's been a long time. I'm sure you've been off with your, you know, you haven't invited me over anymore to sample some of your stew in your pressure cooker. I guess you've been off.
You know. I hereby invite you. It's getting better. I'm getting really good at it. And right now the fall vegetables are really good. So I'm happy to have you over.
Are you adding anything else in it? Is it still the regular what I had, the nuts and I think the vegetables and I think it was a sweetener, some type of fruit, apple or something?
In fact, yes, it is better. I now put in, I keep sampling different ingredients and trying out different things. Some that don't work and some do work. And I remember one of the first things, I didn't even think of this because I'm vegan. So I haven't had meat in, I don't know, decades, since 1990. And I wasn't even thinking about it. And when you tasted it the first time, I think one of the first things you said was, I can't believe that there's no meat in here. Cause I think you felt it tasted really good. And now I put in more stuff that is like meaty, like, and chewy, like I think it's like meat, but I don't really remember. But I think you'll like it even more.
Well, I've got to try it. Now, everything that you're saying, and I was asking you these questions, I had a reason behind it. One would think that you know, you're cooking and you're vegan, that, you know, you would be welcome into this new world of men because it doesn't, you know, portray anything of being masculine because men don't cook and, you know, men want to fight. They want to do this. And if they do, they want to forage for their food. They want to kill. But here you are eating nuts, fruits, and vegetables. But yet and still, you're a man. So what brought on the genesis of your article?
Well, I want to add that I lift as well. So,
okay, and, yeah.
And actually,
we have
in
to,
a former
the aesthetics,
life,
we have to get that in.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I do like looking good. In as I feel, I think I look good mm-hmm. physically, and but it's also just the discipline and the strength and the healthiness. So, I really like it. I didn't lift for a long time. I was athletic in other ways. Oh, before that, I wasn't athletic.
So, okay, so that takes you back to being on that scale of being a little bit, getting a little bit too toxic, testosterones that are a little bit fired up, you're working with that, you know, and some don't like that. I'm going to try not to make this a left or a right thing, but it's always difficult. So, Andrew, you might have to drawing me back and say, okay, stop. But so, again, the genesis of your piece. What happened that would get you to... I mean, did you have a moment that you encounter something? I read the article and I know, but tell our listeners how it came about, the writing of this.
Well, it's something that has been gnawing on me for a long time. When I talk about race or gender or sexuality, I have to walk on eggshells. I feel I have to walk on eggshells. That you're calling it a war on men. I don't think I would call it a war on men, but there's a definite... I would say that there's a lack of empathy. I think that people, okay, first I got to put right out there. I know as well as anyone, or I'm aware that there is massive inequality in the world. And there have been throughout time, there's been lots of inequality and I'd like there to be more. And I believe that I'm working toward bringing out more equality. And that could be between sexes, between sexuality, between skin color, between geographic origin, language, different cultures. And I'm not trying to pretend that that doesn't exist, nor do I pretend that, or nor do I hide that I'm trying to change these things. But when if I mention, for example, what's something innocuous? I don't know if this sounds innocuous to others or not, but if I mention shopping at farmers markets as opposed to supermarkets, I'm almost invariably, someone will tell me, you don't know what it's like to be, you know, you live down there by Union Square, so you have access to a farmer's market, but you don't know what it's like outside of that. And of course, I don't know what it's like to, no one knows what it's like to be anyone other than themselves, but I know that there are other places in the world. And I grew up in really some economically depressed areas. And my parents worked very hard to create a food co-op and to, make things possible. And yeah, for there are many cases where it's difficult to do these things. There are areas in the Bronx that are food deserts. There's no place nearby where they can get fresh vegetables. And it's not so easy for them. Yeah. And to get that every single time I mention it, unless I first bend over backward to point out what I've just done with you guys, which is to say, there's inequality in the world. And then people tell me, you don't know what it's like to do X, Y, and Z. They don't ask me, do you know what it's like? Have you considered other perspectives? What has your life been like? Have you struggled? You have not struggled. You don't know what it's like. Let me tell you what it's like. And it's one thing to be lectured at. I don't like that. I don't think anyone likes being lectured at. But at least when it's on something interesting, that's interesting. But it was when they're lecturing on something that you know, and you only if you were a fool could you not know. And so they're lecturing me on things that I know and that I think in many cases I may know better than they do, but nonetheless I get it. I'm on the receiving end of these things. And
Do you think that by the sheer fact that you are a male and a white male, because there's always a perception that as a white man, you have an edge above everyone else in society. And I think that society views that you're white, and that's what we're almost, the media has created that perception that the white man gets whatever he wants. They're not looking at the fact that, as you mentioned, that you didn't always have it. You weren't always in the situation that you're in now. You went to school, you studied, et cetera, et cetera. But your parents didn't have all this money. But by virtue of being white and a male, it's almost society wants to say it's a given that you're at the top of the food chain. And to deny that is to almost they feel as if though you're toying with them, you're making fun of them, because it's like, well, you know you are, but you just don't want to say it.
Well, I think they would say that I don't know that I am. And I don't want to speak for everyone, because I don't know, you know, everyone is unique and they're going to say different things. And I'm not sure exactly. I think there's a general view that, you know, in comedy, you're allowed to punch up, but not punch down. You can poke fun at people who are above you, but not people who are below you. And I think they all believe that there's this hierarchy of status or access or privilege that white men are at the top of it. And certainly many white men have a lot of privilege and status that others don't. There's a lot of white men who are homeless. And there's a lot of non-white men who have lots of privilege and so forth. There's unquestionably practices going back, some as obvious as slavery and redlining, that kept the situation that to this day, the ramifications are still there. That's what I get lectured on. I mean, things like that. And what happens is I want to speak about my experience of it, because that's what I know. And my experience of it is that once that comes up, I feel as if I'm treated as if there's one dimension to me, and that's it. There's no interesting history to me. And the story that they say of, like, you grew up with a certain amount of privilege and you were able to do things because, like, I have a PhD in physics. I have an Ivy League, I have several Ivy League degrees. And they say, oh, of course you do, because the system is designed for you and it's easy for you to do these things. And it's very hard for others to do these things. That's the view that they have. And then when they tell a story about the background that they presume that I have, it isn't my story. It's like, it's, they're telling me about a childhood that must have, that I must've had, that just doesn't ring true to me. It doesn't sound, it's not the life that I lived. And so it's this funny thing that I feel like they see in me someone that I am unfamiliar with. I don't really know that world that they think that I come from. No one who's lectured me has first asked me about my background. I shouldn't say no one. I can't know at the top of my head. I can't remember times when people said, Josh, you said X. Is that because of why? Is it, tell me where that came from, or could you fill me in on that?
I'll tell you why.
This is why.
Well, I think one reason is, again, it just goes back to the, as I said earlier, is that there is an assumption that you are white. Doesn't make a difference as to what your background is. There is an assumption that you're white and you've always had it easy and you will continue to have it easy. And you would have to, as you said, even if you were to try to, I think, explain your background or say, well, this is what I'm from, people will hear, but then they won't hear because they will come back with, that's fine, but you're still white. And I don't know if you're feeling or seeing this now, being white and a white male in society, it's, I don't want to say it's dangerous, it's a bad thing almost. Because you are viewed as the person that has caused all of the hardship, not you in particular, but the white man. I think that we have not, I think society, this woke society, and I'm trying not to go left or right, has created this image of a white man. And all the white men are there, they make up this composite. And this particular person has all these privileges. And along with these privileges, as he's climbing up the ladder, he has destroyed so many things and made so many people's lives miserable. As a result of that, when they see you, you are that man, that white man, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of the fact that you could have been the poorest person there when you were growing up and you worked hard and you put yourself where you are now. It does not matter. Because whatever you say, they will come back with, but still you're white. It would only happen to a white person. Never mind the fact that you have so many black millionaires and billionaires. Never mind the fact that Oprah Winfrey, she was poor also. And look at what she did. She managed to climb up. Never mind the fact that you look at the professional athletes who came from poor beginnings. And they sell an out by, hey, I'm good at playing sports. And now look at them. Does not matter. Still, you, the white man, you're bad. And I know you say that you don't view it as being a war on men. I do. Because no matter what we do as men, we are constantly attacked on every angle. Now, that being said, if we decide to become some exotic man, you know, a metro man, a man who's, as I like to say, a beta man, who gives in to all this free thinking and say, oh, you're right, men are bad. And we're this and we're that. You're welcomed. It's like, oh, he's had an epiphany. We like him. But the moment you step back and say, ah, but this is who I am. We don't like him. Who does he think he is? So that's what I see from my eyes in a black man's body looking out overall at men as a whole and the attacks. You look at corporate America, women, and I'm all for women being in corporate America and women having these jobs. But if you're only going to hire this person because she's a woman and because you don't want any more toxic men, I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem when we want to glorify, well, women can do this and yeah, women only. Okay, but what if we were to have men only? That's a bad thing, the old boys club. Well, now we're creating the old women's club. So when we try to, as I said earlier, when we opened up, We try to uplift one by tearing down another. It just doesn't work. That's not equality. You're creating the exact system that you said that you disliked. So when people come to you and say, oh, well, you just don't know, or you know, but you don't want to admit it. What are they trying to say to you? And they don't know your background story. And you trying to tell, is it even worth sharing your background story? Has anyone ever been receptive to hearing your background story, Josh?
Oh, yeah, that's... Let me answer that second, because what you're saying before, I think that they would say, I think a lot of people would say to me, you can struggle and have hard work and still be privileged. It's almost like there's like this jujitsu that everything I say, there's an answer to. And they would say, of course, there are counterexamples. There are going to be non-white men straight who are successful, and there are going to be straight white men who are unsuccessful. But the general trend is the following. And they would say, you don't recognize the privilege that you have. Even if you don't recognize it, it's still there, they might say. And privilege, if you lose your privilege, that feels like oppression. And so you feel oppressed, but you're not really oppressed. And so to get to I'm not sure if this will answer the other question you had, but that one thing that I've learned is that when I try to share my story, I'm going to summarize perhaps too glibly what I hear back, but it's often, you think that you're suffering. You think that you have hard times. You think that things are difficult for you. Maybe it feels that way, but you're not aware that others have it much worse. And not only do the others have it worse, you may not realize this, and perhaps it's not your fault. I'm maybe making it sound a little more condescending than they mean for it to sound, but it sounds condescending when I hear it. They say it may not be your intention, but you can't help that you're actually causing these others to remain down. And you're contributing to that. No fault of your own, Josh, you're a good guy, but you can't help that you're contributing to this. And really, you should either try to help them or be an ally for them, because they're looking for equality and you're not. So you have to be an ally for them. And maybe the best thing is, since you've been able, or people like you've been able to speak for so long, maybe the best thing for you to do is to sit down and listen, shut up and listen for a while. And then you can learn what you don't already know. And so this is, I'm maybe overdoing the condescension, but And those who know me know there's another post of mine, which is, this is one of the chips on my shoulder, is that when I say that I have a problem and people tell me, no, actually you're the problem. You may not think you are, but you are. You may not think you're hurting others, but you are. And you should just learn how these problems that you're creating. So what happens, I've said this to a few people, like imagine to a few non-straight white men, imagine every time you said that you suffer, someone says, actually, no, others are suffering. And to some extent, you're probably contributing to that suffering. You pretty quickly learn, don't say that you suffer. And when people, I don't think I've ever suggested that to someone, and someone said, you know, I am going to mentally role play that and imagine what happens if over the years and years and years of my life, every time that I say that I'm struggling, that I'm suffering, that I get told that I'm actually causing suffering. I mean, you learn to be quiet because it's not worth it.
But when you say
a couple things happen. One is that it gets kept inside, but also then the rest of the world doesn't know my experience.
Well, when you say that you're suffering, when you said you tell the people, then you soon realize you shouldn't have said it. Can you give us an example of, if you feel comfortable, so what is something that you would, something that you have said to someone and they came back at you and saying, well, you don't know what it's like to suffer or to go through something?
The first thing that's come to mind was growing up, that we lived in some really depressed neighborhoods, economically depressed neighborhoods. And I got mugged. I don't know. There are four times that I got mugged, once with like a gang of kids, and they put a wrench in my face and stole my bike. Another time, these guys, there are two guys, one behind me and one with a big rock, and they shoved me down, coincidentally, as a police car went by. So they got caught. Once with a knife, ones with
So I'm gonna stop you there because I want to try to break this down because you've mentioned this before on our show that these things have happened to you. So, and correct me if I'm wrong. So when you share this with individuals and say, hey, well, I've gone through this, was their response something along the lines of, yeah, but other people have gone through worse? Or what do you, are you saying that you're suffering because you're white and that shouldn't have happened to you? So
let's see.
You see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, so those I haven't shared those that much. Actually, the show and within my family are some of the few places that I've shared this.
But do you think their response is that they're saying that to you, that you don't know what it is, because they're saying, well, just because you're white, you're thinking that something like that shouldn't have happened to you, whereas it happens to other people, Black people, you know, pretty often. You can go to any Black person and they'll tell you of a situation like that. It has never happened to me, so I wouldn't be able to identify. But again, there's always this, they have experienced this, and now you're saying that you experienced it, and maybe that you shouldn't have experienced it because you're white. Is that the feedback that they're giving you? Do you think that's what they're saying when you tell them of these situations, or when you have spoken of it?
The one case that I can think of is when I talked to my mom about it, and she pointed out that we could move out of that neighborhood, and the Blacks couldn't because of, I don't think redlining was still happening then, but there were still remnants of it. And so neighborhoods would be more open to a white family moving into a more wealthy neighborhood and less likely for a Black family to be able to do that. So the part of the takeaway to that is, see, we still are privileged. And we probably were. I mean, we probably were.
Yeah, but as
like a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid, that wasn't obvious to me.
Well, that's interesting because, like you said, your mom say, well, we can move out of this neighborhood, but Black people can't. But there are white people who probably felt the same way, that they can't move out of the neighborhood. So there is an assumption that, well, because you're white, you can move to another neighborhood. They can't because of redlining. But what if you're poor, you're white, and there's nowhere to go? No, I want to pick this back up, you know, in our next segment. But I mean, that's a fair question, I think.
Yeah, I have a lot of sympathy or empathy for poor whites who are in, I mean, there's plenty of industries that have just bottomed out. And now there's whole communities that are without resources. But there's, I don't know what kind of help they get because they don't fit into the boxes that get help. I mean, I guess what happens is, I mean, to me, that must contribute a lot to the meth and the heroin in this country. The feeling of hopelessness must contribute to that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we are here with Joshua Spodek, college professor, TEDx speaker, and so much more. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available in America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from Joshua Spodek on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
AmericaOutloud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And our guest tonight is Josh Spodek. Why is it that we are attacking men so viciously? Now, in his situation, he was saying the place where they lived, some would probably say, oh, well, you know, he's a white man and he could go somewhere else. Whereas if a black man were living there, it's like, oh, well, you know, he's doing for his family. He's doing the best he can. But let that black man move out and become an independent thinker and say, I'm leaving this behind. Oh, he has become toxic. What did his wife have to say? If the black man is in the house, if the black man has not been run out by the different policies of different circumstances that are there, but I won't go that way because I don't want to make this a red or blue thing. But there are so many factors that contribute to what we're seeing that's going on. But yet and still, the man, apex predator, the white man at the top of the food chain, he's a bad man. Then you got the strong, muscular black man that we need to beat down. Why can't we just be people? Why can't a man be a man? I think there was a song by Prince, I think it was in the 90s. It was called Get Off. In the song, he said, let a woman be a woman and a man be a man. But in today's society, we can't do that. Because unless the man has been watered down, they don't like him. No, take Josh, for instance, as he said, he cooks, he does this. He also likes to lift weights. He likes to look good. Now, the cooking part, that would get him through the door. Like, oh, he's smart. Oh, that would get him through the door. But the moment he takes off the weights, Josh, they probably start, okay, let's see what this guy's actually about. Now, when you say, oh, I like to look good. Oh, okay, we like that because he might be a metro man. But taking out the weights, having a mind, being thoughtful, and then the moment they see some of the things you've written, oh, they would probably write you off and say, oh, just another toxic white man. There he goes again. Why is that? What is so toxic about masculinity? Now, if you were a gay man, oh, they would love you to death. Unless you were a butch gay man, then they would say, oh, I don't know if he's gay or not. So why is it? Why do you think men are so, why do they hate us so? What have we done? We're providers. There's nothing wrong with being a provider. We're lovers. There's nothing wrong with being a lover. Women love, like, I want a husband. I'm looking for this. But now it's almost as if though they're telling women, you don't need a husband. You don't have to have a husband. Why do you guys, Andrew, guys, help me. I'm trying to figure this out. Why have we gotten to this? And is America the only country that's like this? I don't think the Italian men are treated that way, or the French men. And then the whole thing with, when you're out and about, don't look at a woman. Well, what are we supposed to look at? You can't find your connection if you don't see a person that you want to talk to. Telling a woman she looks nice, oh, that's toxic. You look at me as if though I'm meat. Yeah, but then you have Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion and Madonna walking around with half-dressed simulating sex. So, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, actually, I saw a video recently that was, it was a woman who made a video with a bunch of other women, and she actually did it, she started doing it before Me Too, but it actually came out after Me Too, and so people saw it as a reaction to Me Too, but it wasn't, it was just something she didn't. She had, I don't know if the women were speaking themselves or she was giving them a script, but they're saying things like, we do think, like, we manipulate you, and women do that. Women will dress, I'll try to find the link if I can for you guys to put up if you want, but it was something like saying, we dress as sexy as we can. We try to seduce you. And then we'd say, what's wrong with you that you, that all you want is sex. And we set it up like that. And I'm watching, I was like, every guy that I know who you know, worked at getting attractive to women. It's like, oh yeah, we know that. But it's not, I think, I'm curious the reactions that other women had to it, because I feel like I don't think that these women were lying. I don't think they were setting, you know, they weren't making stuff up. And maybe it wasn't universal, they could only speak for themselves. But this is something that I think men have had this experience of, is being set up one way and then said, you're not good for that. And also, a lot of what people call toxic, I think are, now, maybe this is not acceptable these days, but I think there are differences between men and women. Well, I mean, I think everyone would accept, I don't really want to become pregnant. I think that's a good starting point. And I think many women do want to become pregnant. And so I think there are other differences between men and women. And some of the differences, I mean, I'm generally going to have more upper body strength and things like this, but it's not just physical. There's also going to be, we have different, I believe there are some things we learn culturally that may differ. Men learn differently in different times and different cultures. But there are some things that I think are going to be pretty universal. And of course, the distributions and some, you know, the distributions overlap between men and women. But I think that a lot of what gets called toxic was probably in other times a useful traits. I mean, humans have been human for 300,000 years, and only recently have we been living in cities and with a school system like we have now that sets us up in, I mean, school is like, I think, I don't know what the numbers are, 45% university students are 45%, maybe 40% male. And a number that's decreasing. And I would say that it looks to me that our educational environment in this country is more female friendly, in that, you know, recess is disappearing and it's a lot more sitting in rows. My understanding, and I'm not a psychologist, but my understanding is that girls prefer that, or it's preferable for girls, less so for boys. A lot of what gets called toxic is it looks to me either behaviors that made a lot of sense in another context, but we've changed our culture in ways that are male unfriendly.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't. I wouldn't say that. They are labeling it as toxic. They're putting a negative connotation to it, when in actuality, it isn't. You don't see men out running around wilding, hitting women upside the head, destroying things. You don't see that. Okay. We see women that commit crime also. We see women that now want to wrestle. We see women wanting to participate in boxing and MMA, the fighting league. We see women wanting to play basketball. But the fact that there's more attention on men, it seems as if though certain people in society don't like it. I mean, I go back to what I said initially earlier on in the show. They say that we're toxic. They say that we behave a certain way. Yet and still, you will take a butch woman, a lesbian woman, trying to behave or emulate that behavior in a man that they say is toxic, and nothing is said. Absolutely nothing is said about it. In fact, it seemed to be worshipped. You look at Sonny Bono, Cher's daughter who became a man. Look at the image that he's trying to portray. He wants to be butchy and like all masculine. Why aren't they talking about that, saying this is wrong, this is bad? You see, and I bet no one ever thought about that. Why is it that you have butch women, lesbians, who are trying to take on that role that people are saying is bad? But the moment a man does it, and it's natural, it's a bad thing. He's too toxic. Simply because he tried to get a date with some woman? Oh, he's toxic. Simply because she decided to wear a tight dress? Well, who is she wearing the tight dress for? For her neighbor? For her girlfriend? She knew that someone was going to look. And if she didn't look, the first thing she would say is, oh, is he gay? But if he is gay, there's nothing wrong with it. But because he didn't look at you, he has to be gay. But if he looks at you, he's looking at you with lecherous eyes. He's toxic. You don't hear that said of a woman. I can walk out in the gym, women will come up to me. They will stare at me. They will, oh, you look good. And how do you do this? And oh, your muscle this. If I were to look at her that way, with ravenous eyes, oh, he makes me feel uncomfortable. He's creepy. But if a woman does it to a man, don't say anything. Keep going. If they pinch you on the butt, don't say anything. Keep going. You try pinching her on the butt, it's like, sexual harassment. It's like, what gives? They can do it. We can't do it. If we do it, we're too toxic. We're too masculine. We're too behaving like a caveman. And the same thing with the gay guy. If a gay guy hits on a straight man, the straight man better not say a damn thing, because if he does, he's homophobic. He's a this or he's a that. So the man is supposed to take all of this abuse and say absolutely nothing, because if we do, we're toxic. The other way around, it's okay. What gives? How did we get to this point in our society? I don't know. Other than the fact that there's a war on men for who we are. I mean, I remember her, one woman said once, she said that, you know, she's like, I like being a woman. She said, but man, I would love to have a penis. And I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, because that seems to rule the day. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I would love to have a penis. No, I don't know if she was speaking of the terms of, you know, being like power or whatnot. But it's just, it's unreal.
Actually, I had a recent guest on my podcast, and Warren Farrell, I don't know if you've read his stuff, and he started his book, The Boy Crisis, that he interviewed a bunch of, and I think he did, he's an academic, so he does studies with, and he said that, I'm going to get a little bit off, but now parents, male and female parents, if you ask them what sex would you prefer your baby, it's overwhelmingly, or I don't know if it's overwhelmingly, but it's majority, they would prefer a girl because they're going to have a better life. They want a good life for their child, and they expect that a girl will have a better life than a boy in today's world. And I was, man, some of the statistics, I was, brought tears to my eyes of the struggles that boys and men go through today and the lack of empathy offered us.
The war is real, Josh. It is real. And if we cry, we have to suck it up, because if we cry, it's like, oh, you're too soft. Yeah, but if I behave masculine, it's like, oh, you're not soft enough. You're not showing your feelings, your emotions. And they say that it's real. And it's almost as if though it's by design, that this has been baked into the cake all these years. And why? Well, because of the perception that some were getting more treated more fairly than others. Is that my fault? Is that our fault? So as a result, you want to tear us down? I mean, you look at the school systems, as you said, there's more attention applied to little girls than boys. Boys go into school, they're going to play, they're rambunctious, they're doing this, they're all over, where little girls, they're going to sit, they're going to be quiet, and they're going to listen. Back in the day, it's like, okay, let's work with him, he'll be okay. But now it's forget about him, we don't have time, this little girl will get it, let's let her move forward. What happens later on? What happens when we have a society that's just overpopulated with women? Are we going to send them to war? We spoke about this once before, Josh, about women being drafted or registering for these selective service. And I think there was a bill put before on the Hill to allow women to enlist for selective service. And it was, you know, knocked down. But if you want to be equal, why wouldn't that happen? If men are so bad, but if we go to war, oh, send all the men, get all the boys. Can't have it both ways. At least I don't think you should be able to have it both ways. Why can't we just appreciate men for who they are? And it's only a small segment of people that complain about this. It's a small segment, but they have a big voice. And that voice carries, and it changes society, changes things.
Yeah, a trend that I see is that if there's some inequality, and or if there's some, if people observe some inequality that women have the worst end of it, say in school before, when there were fewer women getting college degrees, then they would say, well, we got to fix college so that it gets equal. But when it's the other way, men are the ones with a short end, it's men have to change. Yeah. Not this, men are fine and society must be messing things up for them. It's no, men have to fix themselves. But when it's the other way, it's society has to be fixed.
How did we get to this point? I keep saying, how did we get to this point? What is it about men that people hate? And only if you are an exotic man are you accepted. And of course, the exotic men, as some would say, are the beta males. I mean, they don't present threat. They're pretty much even Steven. They're not going to keep up a ruckus. They'll just go along with the plan. While women, they can keep up a ruckus, they can shout, they can do whatever they want, exhibiting the behaviors that you said that if a man exhibited was toxic. I mean, I've seen women on the streets catcalling men. I've seen them giving men these, you know, undressing men with their eyes. And no one says anything about it. It's okay. But the moment a man does it, go, no, you can't do that. That's wrong. So I do believe there is a war on men. When you're going to say that a woman who decided to change her sex and become a man and can have a baby, and everyone go, oh, this is great, oh, ha ha. But a man just being a man, breadwinner, fighting for his rights, getting out there, getting the job done every single day, might be loud, might be bombastic, he's toxic. Switch the roles, allow a woman to do it, bombastic, as they say, she's ball crushing. Oh, wow, she's right on top of it. It's so interesting how times have changed, how the roles, you're trying to change the roles. But if you say one is bad, why is the person that you're trying to attribute those roles to or those behaviors to are taking on those qualities of the person that you said was toxic and bad?
Yeah, there are a few. There's a book I read some time ago about a woman who decided to live as a man for a year. And there was, I think the Washington Post a couple of years ago did a story about female to male transsexuals and the experience of what it was like to be a man, having grown up, spent most of their lives as women. And now the world is seeing them as men. And it's really not, I think one's naive expectation would be, oh, they're going to love it. And they're like, no one helps us. No one gives us empathy. Although there were some things that were really cool, like this woman who won as a man, she went to like a bowling alley and she loved that other guys were just like, yeah, you're a dude, hang out with us, have a great time. And no struggle. It was just friendly guys with guys being cool. But when, oh, and the dating, when, oh, I read this story of this guy and two friends, like one male, one female, were talking about online dating. And the guy was like, it's really hard. And the woman's like, no, man, just, I know how to talk to women. And so somehow she did his dating profile for, I think, like a week. And she thought, well, I'm a woman. I know how to talk to women so that I'll, you know, spark the attraction. And the guy's picture was, I don't know, I didn't see it, but apparently he was like attractive enough. And she just got beaten down of like, no one would respond and no one, and they like respond and then ghost. And she would say stuff that was, she thought like, this is obviously going to be something that a woman would like to hear and that would never hear back. And oh man, that was a really good article, that how men, if you're just nice on a dating profile, and what they said was you just get nothing. You just get treated like unattractive, to say the least. And so what happens when this happens over the course of your whole life, of every time, you know, a lot of guys end up, they withdraw and they feel like nothing I can do is good enough. It's, and there's no support for, I'm not aware of it, of guys who try to be genuinely nice. And I don't mean like a nice guy in the sense of sometimes nice guy means really creepy. I mean, just a guy who grows up thinking I should be nice to women and they'll like me. And they often get beaten down, not beaten down literally by a woman, but by a system that doesn't reward, this message that I got growing up was get a good job, get a good house, get a good car, things will be good. And that didn't teach me how to be open and have intimacy with a woman. That was just supposed to happen. But if I tried to learn that, they were like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. That's really rough. It's the courtship in today's world is, I think, reading that article, to me, it rang true of how you have to, if you don't send out a lot of messages, and how can you send out a lot of messages without being very repetitive? And then that's not being not genuine. That's being, otherwise you have no chance.
Well, not only—
anyway, there's lots of things like that.
Right, but not only being very repetitive, but you said sending out messages, but though sending out the messages could get you in trouble because it will be perceived or made to be perceived as being something creepy or wrong. How can you go on a date if you don't ask the question or say, or show the person that you're interested in them? But it seems in today's society, you can't do that as a man. So how do people connect? How do people get together? Is it that they don't want people to connect? They don't want people to get together? You see a nice looking woman, you smile at her. It's like, okay, she smiles back. You're like, oh, wait, hey, maybe we're connecting here. You go up and say something. Oh, excuse me, you're in my space. I feel uncomfortable. It's like, oh, excuse me. I mean, you look at on the job, that's where people meet people, but now they have created a situation whereby you can't talk to people or say, hi, you look nice, or you look this way, to see if that person is going to respond. You say, hey, let's go on a date. You can't do that without finding yourself in HR. Why has it come down to that? Whereas if a woman were to do it, do you actually think the man is going to go in and report it to HR? No, he'll probably just say, oh, okay, hey, you know, let me speak with her. But if it's the other way around, you can't. It's considered toxic. You can't do these things. Now, of course, if it's your subordinate, you can't do that. But if it's your equal, and again, I go back to making references to the gym. If you're in the gym or just walking out on the streets, it's very dangerous as a man, as a white man, as a black man, as a Christian man, you can't do it. You can no longer do it because society has been told that whatever we're bringing, it's toxic. So how are people supposed to meet? How do you go and reproduce? How do you keep the species going? I often feel as if though they're trying to stop it.
Like, yeah, and I do want to point out that when, and is this also the case with you, that when someone does know me as an individual, what you're talking about is a social thing. It's not a one-on-one thing, because the people who know me, it's great. There are a lot of people, have I told you this, that people keep saying to me, oh, you picked the wrong time to be born a man. You picked the wrong time to be born white. And I think when we're not in a public situation, when it's just one-on-one, I think there's more of like, yeah, it's pretty rough for you. And I think they do appreciate, I mean, the women that I've had deep loving relationships in my life, they like what feels to me is the masculine side of me. Well, I don't think there's a masculine side to me. There is only masculine. I'm a man.
Exactly.
But
you see that? What other way can you be? Even if you were gay, still you're a man.
You know, yeah, there's one of my favorite there. There's this famous picture of, I think it was after the Oklahoma City bombing. There's a fireman and he's holding, cradling a baby. And it's, to look at it, it looks very tender. He's holding this baby that is, you know, completely helpless. And he's wearing all this equipment because he's got to run into burning buildings. And sometimes people say he's showing a nurturing feminine side. I'm like, no, that's not a feminine side. Men can hold babies and be extremely careful with them and love them. And that's being a man.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't.
Oops, sorry.
He wasn't being like a woman. He was being a man. And there's lots of situations like that where when men are doing things that people consider, I think, virtuous, they think that's like rising above his masculine nature or something like that. And he's being a man.
Yeah, well said, Josh. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If people want to keep in contact with you, where's the best spot they could go to do so?
JoshuaSpodek.com. And if they want to reach me, then the upper right corner, there's the contact and that'll reach me. And I'm at Spodek on Twitter. Those are the best ways. I mean, and then, yeah, also my podcast is also at JoshuaSpodek.com.
Excellent. Check out JoshuaSpodek.com and you can even search for Rob and I's names. We've both appeared on Rob's show. So if you guys want to check those out, please do so. Thank you, Josh, for coming on. And thank you all for joining us tonight. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. They come in great-tasting gel packs where you can just drink it right out of the pack. You can put it in water or blend it in a smoothie. Rob and I have been taking Healthy Cell for several months, and we are glad that we are. Head on over to healthycell.com and type in the code OUTLOUD and save 20% off your first order. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the website. And America Out Loud just recently celebrated its 5th anniversary. The website looks great. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.